I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. Everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides. I had no peace within till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. He moves me as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides.
As I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides. the Lord. Good to be back in the house of the Lord for service once again, to be gathered together with the children of God that believe the message of God that He sent for our day. Always good to come together, whether it's here or the tabernacle or in Europe or South America or Central America or whatever. It's always good to gather with God's children around the Word of God, because when we meet like that, He said He'd be there with us. Had a chance to talk to Brother Trevor yesterday. He's back from his trip, and it was a rough trip on him, I guess, but he, for the most part, enjoyed it. But it's like anything, after 2 weeks, you wear down, and you're traveling a lot, and believe me, the roads in some of these countries are, you can complain about the roads around here, but go over there in some of these other countries. When I go down to Central America and I come back, I don't complain near as much about the roads, Brother Barry, as I do before I left, because they're really bad down there. And I imagine it's even worse over in Africa. But he enjoyed himself. He enjoyed the presence of the Lord and encouraging the people. And it was hard on his body, but you know, the Lord sends you and the Lord takes care of you. So we're glad that he made it back well. Want to remind everyone that no service tonight, and so we just have this morning service. So if you show up, you may have a little trouble getting in, but you could always have an outdoor service if you wanted to in the field, but no service tonight. So now we have some prayer requests. A friend of mine and Brother Nathan's brother, Solomon Sandoval, he's from over in California. His mother-in-law has come down with cancer, and he texted me yesterday and wanted us to pray for her. And they don't know just exactly how bad or what kind. It's strange that old devil hides, but it's a cancer that the lady has. So let's remember her in prayer. And thought I had her name written down here, but the Lord knows it. And then my daughter, Sister Cheryl, she requested a prayer. Cheryl, wasn't that for Tina? Where are you at, Cheryl? I seen you earlier. Tina, yeah. All right. You remember the sister that used to come when he was in the storefront was Cheryl. Her name was Tina. Her real name is Thelma Zachori, but she's come down with breast cancer, so remember her. And then let's remember Brother Joseph and the brothers that are down in Beaumont. They'll be traveling back home. I don't know if they'll leave today or leave tomorrow, but let's remember them for traveling mercy and grace. Brother Nathan and the family, along with Sister, or Brother Jerry and Sister Dottie and Sister Debbie, they're up in Maryland, and he's preaching up there and has been, and they said to remember him for traveling mercies when they start home. And then some of our new folks that were here, Brother and Sister Condor from down in Owensboro, their son Jacob has strep throat, so remember the young boy for that. Now, how many of you would have something on your heart that you need the Lord to remember? Brother Hoover, would you come and offer the prayer over these requests, please?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, for being here. You promised in your word, Lord, and you always keep your promises. We're thankful for your presence this morning. We just want to enjoy that presence and worship you, Lord Jesus. That's what we came for. Not to see any man, not to see anybody, Lord, but just to worship you and be in your presence this morning. We bring these requests to you now, Lord. You know each one, the cancers. Lord, the ones that need traveling mercy on the highway, Lord, we ask that your angel would watch over them. Lord, those that are sick, the ones with cancer, Lord, we know that not even cancer can stand before you, Lord. You said to the prophet, if he could just get us to believe, and Lord, he did his part. He got us to believe. Now, Lord, dear Jesus, we come against these powers of the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the shed blood of Calvary, and we claim victory, Lord. It's already been purchased. It's already finished. You cried that from the tree. You said it is finished. Lord, that meant every sin, every sickness, every disease was finished. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We ask that you would just be in the service, anoint the ministry of the word, Lord. Bring it to our hearts, Lord, that it would grow and that, Lord, it would be alive within us, Lord, and that somewhere, somehow, this week, Lord, we'd be a witness to someone. They would see the light of the gospel shining forth in our lives. Lord, your prophet said that's what this place needs, is it needs live voices, Lord, living out the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose, that's our motive and our objective this morning as we come to you. Just be with us, Lord, in the worship. We give you praise and glory for all your goodness and every blessing that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hoover. We're actually going to finish up the 119th Psalms this morning. So we'll start with 166 and we'll read through, what was the last one? 176, and we'll all read that one together. All right, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee.
Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word.
Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word.
My lips shall utter praise, and my mouth shall taught me thy statutes.
My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness.
Let my hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts.
I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight.
Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. God bless you, and you may be seated. I believe at this time we have a special, my sister Christy and brother Luke and sister Stephanie.
You love. brothers would come for the morning offering.
Praise God. Praise God.
It's fallen my lot this morning to speak a little bit for a little while to you about the Lord Jesus and His Word. And I trust the Lord will, I believe He's already here. I feel Him. And I brought Him with me. So I brought you to trust that you brought Him with you. We'll put all our little licks of fire together. I don't know what the Lord has in store. I've had this message on my heart for probably a month. Since Brother Nathan asked me to speak over a month ago, and I kept seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord, and finally, I can't even tell you where the thought came from, but you know how, well, maybe you don't if you're a preacher, you know how thoughts come. All of a sudden, something pops in there, and you take it and you run with it and trust the Lord will, and you pray about it and trust the Lord will take you from there. So let's see if we get this. There we go. So this morning I want to talk to you for a little while about He's still God and He makes a way. Before we do that and before we read, I'd like to bow our heads and go to Him. Father, As always, I need You when I stand before any of Your people to speak to them about Your Word. For as my wife would say, Lord, I can just talk and talk and talk and talk. But yet if You're not in it, what good is it? I feel much, only I'm not near as smart as Brother Branham, but I like what he said. And he said, I don't know very much, but I like to talk about what I do know. And that's the way I feel, Lord. I know You. And I love to talk about You and how great You are and how magnificent You are and how You saved me. How good You are to us, O Lord. We ask You to come, Lord Jesus. Help me to step aside and You take control and say that which You would want said this morning. I have notes, but Lord, You, if You want me to go somewhere besides the notes, You take control. And Lord Jesus, may it be something said this morning that would help someone. If we go and preach somewhere, Lord, and it just helps one, it's worth the whole trip. If it helps many, that's wonderful also. But the main thing is for You to be there, You to be in control, and You to bless Your children, and You to have said what You once said. Now help me to do that, Lord, and may it be for Your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen. Real simple this morning to start with, and you may wonder as I get started where I'm going, and sometimes I do too, but in the beginning, God, and you may be seated. In the beginning, God. And when you think about it, that was the beginning. Brother Branham said it was God. And He dwelt with Himself. And there was nothing there but Him. Just God. I meant for a black screen to be up there, but it didn't quite work. Although I have it on the PowerPoint to be black, it didn't show up. So we'll just take it as it comes. But there was nothing there but God Himself. Dwelling with Himself alone. And I'm sure that if any of you sitting here have listened to enough tapes, you'll know the story of how Brother Branham talks about how God wanted to be a creator, so He created. And He wanted to be a savior, so He made something that could be lost, so He could be a savior. And He wanted to be a healer, so He made it possible where we could be sick, so that He could heal us. But in the beginning, it was God. And God dwelt alone. But then we find that over in John, He tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things. I like this. I don't care what science says. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. Can you imagine that? I think of science many times because I just thought of this. They say it was a Big Bang. They have this Big Bang theory. We've heard it since I was a teenager. And that's been a few years. But even if they want to go that way, that's all right. I would give them the Big Bang if that's what they want. But I want to ask them, who made the bang? Because we'll find here that Brother Branham talked about how, and it's in one of my other quotes, and I'll get ahead of myself for a moment, how that when he, well, let's just stay with this, then we won't get ahead. But what he made everything that was made, there was nothing that wasn't made, but God in the beginning, he did what? Well, let's go with this one. Seems like I'm out of sync here someplace, but that's all right. We'll catch up with it. He says, I believe that everything that is now began in Genesis. The word Genesis is the beginning, and every cult that we have on the face of the earth today began in Genesis. And everything that we have started in Genesis. It's the beginning, or otherwise known as the seed chapter of the Bible, where the beginning originated. When God was way back before there was a star in heaven, before there was even a light in the sky, that's as far as our little mind could take it. God was there. All that great space of eternity to eternity, God was sitting back in eternity. Then out of God came the Logos, which we would say it like a little sacred light that moved out of that darkness or out of that eternity as a child playing before the Father's house. And in his infinite mind, he had the scene of what would be at the end from the beginning that he was then. And then he spoke and said, let there be. And an atom split yonder in the sky. There's your bang. In the sky somewhere, and the sun came into existence. And after 100 million or 100 billions of years, a clinker flew off of that, and it was a star. And we watched it falling, and it fell for several million years, and he stopped it. And another one fell, and he stopped it. What's he doing? He's writing his first Bible. We've had three Bibles written, one in the heavens above, the Zodiac, and it starts off with a virgin, ends with Leo the lion, the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus, and down through the different ages. Then we find it till Enoch wrote one and put it in the pyramid, and the third is put on paper. Everything in the Word travels in a trinity. There's three comings of Christ. He came first to redeem his bride, second to receive his bride, and he comes third time with his bride. There, everything in a trinity moving through the Bible. There's the threes in one. So we find that in the beginning, what? There was something, explosion went off of what? Off of that little light. Well, where'd we go here? Okay, let's continue on then. Now notice, when God, after making all the stars and all the heavenly planets, then I can see this Logos go out over the world and bring it over here around the sun and begin to turn it around. Great ice gorges come down from the north and cut out the southern California and Texas and made the plains and the world as it was coming into existence. Now it's all melted into water and we're in Genesis 1 now. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did he say? He talked about that fire that came, that pillar of fire. He made himself visible so somebody could see him. How? In a pillar of fire. So that he could be seen. And he called that. He said, I could see him out there playing before the Father like a little child, a little lamb leaping around and going so on and so forth as we read. And then all of a sudden, or in time that it's supposed to be, he said there was an explosion went forth. The atom split. Science can talk about a big bang. That's fine. But God did the big bang. And out of there went a big clinker, as he said. And he let it flow or sail down through there for a billion years. See, God without time. But as he said, that's about as far as our little minds can take it. We can't imagine the size of God. We can't imagine, man can't even with all of their exploration of spaceships and Sputniks and all of these things that they send out into space, they still cannot comprehend God. They can't comprehend even the vastness of space. They don't know how big it is. Because, you know, look, when Einstein could sit and say, if you could travel out to, was it Alpha Centauri, I think is one of our closest neighbors, I believe that's the right name, and said you could go out there and you'd have to travel something like 300 million light years. We won't even live to be 300 million years, at least not in this life. But can you imagine, that's the speed of how far the speed of light can travel in 1 year, multiply that times 300 million just to get to the closest place. We look at our so-called Milky Way. Well, that's what man calls it. When you get back in space and you see a picture of the Milky Way and they say it's 100, it'll take, if you started at one end and traveled to the other end, the length of it, it would take you 100 million light years to travel it. That's just in our area of the neighborhood. Now go on down over to some other area of the neighborhood. And back when Brother Branham was here, I remember him talking about how that there were millions of solar systems. Science didn't even know that back in the 50s and the 60s until they started shooting rockets up and started getting the Hubble up there where they could turn it and look out through space. And now they've come up. They said there's billions of solar systems out there, suns with planets and revolving around them and all this. And, you know, here we are on this little earth and man thinks he's somebody special. But they've done one thing that they should never have done, and it was the same thing they'd done in the days of Noah. They have forgotten God. And they've forgotten that God is still God. They've gotten away from Him. And Brother Branham said they did it back in 1956 when they turned the message down. And from there, as a teenage boy, until now, I've seen this world going worse and worse and worse. And I watched it as we come. I was coming to work this morning and thinking about what a terrible condition this world is in, Brother Hamby. I said, oh Lord, I wonder how many people will wake up this morning. Instead of going to church, they've got a hangover because of what they did last night. I said, I wonder how many of those women and how many of those men are going to wake up with the wrong person in the wrong house, in the wrong bed where they had no business being because they were out partying last night. I wonder how many of them went out last night not knowing they weren't going to wake up this morning. How many young ones, how many old ones, all because they had forgotten about God. All because they forgot that God is still God, and God requires service, and God requires sacrifice. God requires something of us. He's given His all for us. He gave us His only Son, and He came down and gave His life for us, gave us an example of how to live, and He gave His life for us, and then He proved who He was by resurrection, and then by ascension up on high, just so that He could come back in the Holy Spirit and be upon you and I. Amen. But He requires service, because He is God, and He's still God. What did He tell us? I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. See, He don't change. Man changes. Man wants to change the Bible because now they come out with the Queen James Version a few years ago for the gays and the lesbians, and they changed all the meanings so it'll fit their lifestyle because they don't want to change their lifestyle to suit God. So they want to try and change God, but they cannot do it. I don't care how hard they try. God does not change. He's still Almighty God. He's the same today as He was 100 million billion years ago. He doesn't change at all, but He is God. Think about it. But it's going now. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Think about it. And that's just one part of it. They aren't able to take a panorama of here's the earth sitting here, and they can't give you a panorama this way and this way so you can sit like you can with your eye and you can look all around. I like to walk outside either early in the morning or late at night and stand out there, and when the light pollution around the place isn't so bad that you can't see very well, but I love to look up at the stars and think of what a mighty God I serve. Amen. And you want to talk about stars. Daryl was in the Navy and there's some others that's in the Navy. You get out on a ship out in the middle of the ocean where there's no lights. The only lights are a red and green light on your boat, or the top ones up on top of the mast 100 feet up, or whatever the distance would be depending on your boat. And you step outside and you look up, then you can see some stars. I mean, you see God in the magnificence of such stars that your mind, just like Brother Branham said, our little mind just can't grasp it. We've only got so much that this finite mind can get a hold of. But when you stand there and you see those stars out there in all their magnificent glory, it lets you know there is a God. So I see God when I look up in the stars because He's still the same. I see Him because He created the heavens. There's another one. They say all them bright spots are, these things are supposed to be solar systems. This one and 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 this. All of them. And that's just part of what you can see, or as Hubble can see out there. Solar systems that God made. How long did it take Him to make all of those? I don't know. How many billions and trillions and quadrillions of years? I don't know. And I don't care. All I know is the Word tells me that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's another one.
And you talk about how magnificent is this God that we serve. That was our God. The God that became man. The God that gave his life for us. The God that resurrected. The God that ascended on high. The God that we see right over there. The one right there. That's God in the form of a pillar of fire. Sure, many have seen it. Many have walked in his presence. Brother Branham was with him all the time. Or he was with Brother Branham, whichever way you want to phrase it. But you see, he's still God. It's been, 51 years since Brother Branham, I think, has left the scene? God hasn't changed in 51 years. I remember being some of these children were going to church at 5 years old at the Pentecostal church, and the preacher up there preaching about Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, make ready, Jesus is coming, he's going to be here any day now, Jesus is coming. I'm 72. It's almost 70 years later. I'm standing up here telling you, guess what? Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. And if I go by way of the grave, and if Andrew grows up and the Lord was to call him to preach, or Elijah grows up and God called him to preach, what are they going to be preaching? Jesus is coming. You better make your life right. He sent a prophet. He's revealed the word. Jesus is coming. You better be ready. Why? Because he's still God.
Amen.
He's still God. He made a way for a lost man. He wanted to be a savior, and he made a way for us to get back to him when man fell. He wanted to be a healer, and he made a way for us to come to him and to be healed when sickness came upon us because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. He's still God, friends, and he don't change. He's still God. And he made that, but God did what? He made the heavens and the earth. This is a picture of the earth from right here from one of the satellites that went out. Doesn't look very big. I've said many times in some of my sermons, if you could put a beam of light through the window where it'd shine real good, and as a kid, I used to do it all the time. You sit in a chair and you look in that beam of light and you see all the dust particles that we don't see normally, and you're breathing them all the time. But those dust particles floating through there, little bitty particles, and you can see them. Now, make that space. Think about it. Now, maybe pick out one of them little dust particles and make that earth. Now put yourself on that little dust particle and tell me how big you really are.
Amen.
Now look at this. That's Earth. The bigger of the two right there. That's Earth. From I don't know how many million miles out from one of the satellites or ships or whatever you call it they sent out there. Voyager or whatever it was. That's how big it is from there. And then how big are we? But God was so big that he inhabits the whole eternity to eternity of time and space. And he is so big that he could make it all. And so powerful that he could make it all. And yet he was so small. He loved us so much and so much mindful of us that he became one of us. All powerful, all loving, all powerful God that could do whatever he wanted to. He made man and then became a man and made a way for you and I to get back into fellowship with him. Think about it. This is God and he hasn't changed. He's still the same God today. He still wants you to love him. He still wants you to commune with him. He still wants you to serve him. He still wants you to praise him because he's God and he wants to be loved. He wants to be praised. He wants to be worshipped. He wants songs sung to him and about him and for him. And yet sometimes you go to church and people are sitting there and everybody's singing and they're just chewing their gum and looking around. And sometimes I wonder, where are people at? But if they was out at a ball game, they'd be jumping up and down and hooting and hollering and throwing their hat or whatever they want to do, or maybe knocking the guy's hat off in front of them. But God said, worship me. He said, you'll have no other gods before me. Think about it. He wants you to put him first. He made a way. And he's still God. But he made heavens and he made the earth. And there it is, a little bit closer. Taken from the moon. But you know, when we think of who we are and what we are, I'm talking about this, not this one in here. Because man does what? He thinks he's really something. You know, he can put on his white shirt and he can put on his necktie and put on his suit and, you know, and shave and throw some smelly stuff on his face and go down to the church house or wherever he wants to go or down to the bar or over to the nightclub or down to some sporting event or whatever and walk around or go to their work, and they think, oh boy, I'm really something. Look at me. I mean, look at me. I've got a nice car and I've got a nice home and I've got nice clothes and I've got a nice wife and I've got nice kids and I've got nice this and I've got nice that. But I wonder how many of them have God, which is the nicest of all of it. Think about it. And yet they can go out there and they can get in their car. It's like Brother Joseph told my son Paul one time when he's talking to him about serving the Lord. He said, you know, Paul, he said, you can start your truck up. He's down at the Tabernacle. He said, drive right out here and go through that intersection. Somebody will run that light over there and hit your T-bone you in the side. He said, you just met your rapture. I was thinking of that on the way in, part of continuing that story on the way in, of how many met theirs last night. How many met theirs this morning? Because you get up and what's on the news? What's in the paper? What's in the internet? Oh, or we had somebody was shot over here in the West End. Somebody shot over in the East End. Somebody shot up in New York. Cops shot over here. And these guys shot over here. And terrorists over there. And this happening over here. And this happened. What is it? It's the evil world. It's the devil on a rampage trying to take everybody to hell that he can. And he's after you and me. But one thing about it, if we're sealed into that body of Jesus Christ, if we walk in behind that holiest of holies, he won't get us. He can only tempt us, and he can try us, and he can test us, and he can do all things to us. If you'd seen what we've been through this week, you'd wonder why I can get up here and say how great God is. It's been one heck of a week. Oh, it's after something didn't go wrong, something else went wrong. I got that fixed and started something else, and something else went wrong. I got that fixed and started to do something else, and something else went wrong. Brenda said last night, we're sitting there on the couch, and she looked over, she says, boy, we must be going to have a good service in the morning. I said, well, if he's there. See, it's not Bill Layton. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But why? Because we're trying to do something for the Lord to encourage the people, to point them what? Point them back to God. Point them back to his word, to stay with the message that you've heard, to read it, to listen to it, to obey it, and to walk and talk and do everything you can for the message. Not to be holier than thou to your neighbor or nothing else, but just live your life. Just be a Christian. Be what you're supposed to be. Talk like you're supposed to. Walk like you're supposed to. Dress like you're supposed to. Act like you're supposed to. Why? Because he's still God and he requires it, but he made a way for you to do it. He gave you all the help you could need, and that's the Holy Ghost. That's him living in you. And I find when people are struggling, they say, oh, I just can't do it. Oh, I don't know about that, and I don't know about that. You know what the problem is? They haven't got the Holy Ghost. It's really simple. And Brother Branham said, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, if you have repented and you have been baptized, and if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, he said, God hasn't honored your faith, which means you don't have enough of it in another place. He said, you don't. So listen, what is it? It's letting go and taking God at his word. Repent, clean up your life. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't say if you'd get it right then or if you get it next week, but if you stay on your face, if you stay sincere, if you keep seeking it, he made a way for you. And he's got the provided way, and he has to keep his word. There's no way you can get around it. There's our big planet Earth, which isn't so big when you look at it from back the other way, is it? In comparison with the Milky Way, in comparison to 100 million miles away, it's just a little dot. Then how big are we? What did Brother Lamb say on that? Talk about the people, what, the woman, not picking on the women or anything, just because he said it, but throw a fur coat around them and a hat or whatever, and you know, and walk down the street with their nose stuck up so high if it rained, they'd drown. Why? Because they think this body is something. They haven't got it in their head that one of these days this body's going to die. And then what happens to that soul, which is the most important thing. It's not the body, it's the soul. The body, you can get healed and you're going to get sick. You can go through a trial and a test, you'll get through it. There's going to be another one if you live long enough. It's one battle after the other, because we're in a war, a spiritual war that we've got to fight. I was talking to, I can't remember which one of us, but anyway, somebody the other day said, it's not, Brother Ben said, it's not the mark of a good soldier is not how many times you fall down. He said, the mark of a good soldier is how many times you get up and keep going in battle. You can be running across the battlefield with your gun and trip over something and fall down. You got your choice. You can lay there and let all your buddies do the fighting, or you can get up and join the fight and let's get this thing over with. Oh, just mine ain't going to make no difference. Ah, that one gun may make the biggest difference in the world. And it's the same thing in church, same thing in your Christian life. You may stumble, you may fall, but if you're going to lay there and feel and have a pity party, or you're going to get up and march on. Amen. Oh, but what difference am I going to make? I don't know, but you get up and you march anyway. If you get tired of marching, then get out on your knees and rest a while. Talk to him. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the whole church. Pray for the musicians. Pray for the song leader. Pray for the person sitting next to you. Who was it? Somebody sent me a text the other day. I've got it on my phone, I think. Let me paraphrase it. And I'd been around a long time, and I hadn't heard that one. I know I've heard the message, but I don't remember that particular quote about how that if you will pray for somebody else, while you're praying for them, God will heal you while you're praying for them. Think about it. So you're praying for somebody else that you know is sick, or you're praying for somebody else, and you may be sick as a dog. Pray for somebody else. You may be going through one of the greatest spiritual battles you could ever think of, but pray for somebody else. He said, oh, well, brother so-and-so, he don't have no battles. How do you know? I remember being up in Ohio preaching one time, and I was in the study, and this feller come in, and he sat there, and he talked right up until time to walk out and get in the pulpit. I thank the Lord, glad the Lord helped me, because that was a rough one. Nobody don't leave you alone until you get in the pulpit. But he said, oh, Brother Layton, he said, you know, I've watched you and Brother Billy Paul, and he named another brother. He said, I've watched you three brothers. He said, and you brothers don't have any problems. I said, oh, brother. I said, if only you knew. Maybe we're able to handle it a little better or keep it hid a little better. But that's the way sometimes people think. Oh, you don't have no problems. But you know what? I find we all have problems, whether they're little, whether they're big. One person can handle this and one person couldn't. Somebody else, you may say, oh, maybe Brother Anthony should have my problems. Well, maybe you should have Brother Anthony's problems. You may find out you can't handle it because God didn't give them to you. He gave them to him because he said, I'll not put more upon you than you can bear. Think about it. So maybe Brother Anthony couldn't handle my problems. Maybe I couldn't handle Brother Buckles' problems. Brother Buckles couldn't handle Brother Hoover's problems. Brother Hoover couldn't handle Brother Steve's problems. Think about it. See, we're talking about, oh, who's got the biggest problem? It don't matter how big or how little it is. God made a way to get through the problem. God made a way for us to do it. All we have to do is follow the way. What did he say? I am the way. He's the way. I am the truth. And I am the light. He said, follow me. Not follow Joe Blow down the street. Not follow your pastor. Not follow the evangelist. Not follow the deacons. He said, follow me, Jesus Christ. Follow me. That's who you follow. I wanted to do this. Talking about Almighty God. I don't know where I got on all these problems at. It wasn't even what I was going to preach on. Brother Nathan must rub off on me. But I want to go to this. God is still God. And he's made a way. When the children of Israel were walking, when Adam and Eve were walking down through the Garden of Eden, and Satan came and tempted Eve and she fell and Adam walked out with her, God didn't throw his hands up and say, I'm done with you. You failed me. But he said, I'll make a way for him. So he went and slayed a lamb. They didn't, as Brother Branham has taught us, they didn't come seeking God. God came seeking Adam. Adam, where are you? Truman Jackson, where are you at? When you were out in sin, Brother Truman, he's on Truman. Your son, what are you doing? You know I love you. I've called you, come on. And he called and he called and he worked and he called until you answered. See, he made a way for you and I to get back to him. Amen. He hasn't changed a bit. He made a way. And when they got sick, he made a way for them to get healed. Think about it. When they disobeyed him, he still loved them so much that he went looking for them and made a way. When the children of Israel went down through all the things they went through in Egypt, all the signs, all the wonders, all the miracles. They seen they heard about the snake, the stick turning into a snake and being going back into a stick. They heard, they seen the flies, they seen the fleas, they seen the blood, they seen the rivers, the waters turn into blood, they seen the frogs, they seen the cattle and the livestock die. They seen the city split in half. So if they could stand on this side, right here, and be in light. And right here's a wall of darkness over where the Egyptians are. And they could step over here and they'd be in darkness.
Right.
They could step right back here and they'd be in light. That's the natural. Think about it. But yet he made a way for you and I. We can walk right up. There's light. Now what are you going to do with it? You're going to walk in the light or you're going to stay in the darkness? Or are you going to step right on into the Lord Jesus Christ, into the light? It's your choice. It's my choice. We have a choice. I know he knows the answer. He knows who will and who won't, but I don't know. So we preach it like everybody can be saved, knowing that they're not. But he knows who they are and he'll call them. Why? Because he loved them and he made a way for them to come. But he did the same thing for the children of Israel. And yet they followed Moses out of Egypt. And look what they did when they got out there. They started mumbling and groaning and complaining. Oh, I wish you'd left us back there. You bring us out here to die. Why, back there we could have had leeks and we could have had this and we could have had that. And no, you brought us out here. And still, God was long-suffering with them and made a way. He opened the Red Sea and let them go across. He gave them a promise unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he wanted to fulfill the promise. And all they wanted to do was complain, 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 complain. Reminds me of a lot of people around the message today, I'm sorry to say. All they want to do is complain about this and complain about that and complain about this over here. Complain about that preacher. Complain about that church. Complain about this group of people. Complain about this person. What are you complaining about? You're walking right along into Canaan's land. If you got the Holy Ghost, Brother Ben said, you got the Holy Ghost, you're in Canaan's land. Amen. What are you complaining about? You've got the greatest thing that ever was on the face of the earth, and that's the full revelation of the Word of God sealed in with the Holy Ghost. Then just pick up and march right on. Keep going and don't let anybody else stop you. Don't worry about what Brother so-and-so is doing. Don't worry about Brother Jimmy back there. Don't worry about Brother Hamby over here. Don't worry about Brother Lee back there. Don't worry about Sister Vera over here. Don't worry about the sister back here. Don't worry about that. Worry about your own soul salvation. Get your eyes on God and keep them there and pray for all the rest of them that you think are so blasted wrong. That's what happened. The devil's got in. And he's coming. He's, oh, look at so-and-so. Look at so-and-so. Look at so-and-so. This one believes that. And this one believes that. And that one don't believe that. Who cares? What does the Word say? When the Word said he is God and he's made a way, that's exactly what it meant. He made a way for you and for me. And our job is to keep our eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not upon everybody else that's all around us. Oh, well, what's Brother Andy's going to think if I end up jumping up and down and shouting? Who cares what Brother Andy thinks? The Lord tells you to shout, you shout. All right, Henry, way to go. See, out of the mouths of babes. I like that. My, it's when the sisters get excited, you know, and they let out that scream, you see the little kids all go, me, I just go, thank you, Lord. Why? They got to let the pressure off somewhere. Whether you're jumping up and down, whether you're screaming, whether you're talking tongues, whether you're running around the church, as long as it's God. Let's not come out of a Pentecostal church where the Brother Buckles got up and started running. I better get up and run too. And you better get up and run. And you better get up and run. Because if you don't run, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Really? I wonder what chapter that was in. But we didn't have enough teaching to know until God sent the prophet along. Then all of a sudden went, oh, now I see. There it is. But he loved us so much. He's still God, Brother Jimmy. He's God in the sunrise. I see him. I like to get up in the morning. Usually it's up about 6, and unless I'm really tired. Some Brenda get up and she'll say, sleep in. And sometimes I lay there and pray instead of sleeping, but that's all right too. Other times I get up and I like to go up to the dining room window and pull the blinds up and stand there and just watch the sunrise up there. What a mighty God you are. How great you are, and yet you think about me. What am I? I'm like, Joe, what am I that you would think about me? But for some reason, he did. What do we have here? I also see him in the storms. Some people get afraid of the storms. Well, yeah, maybe there's times when you should be careful.
But if it's your time to go home, I don't care where you're at, you're going to go. But I see God in the storms. I see God in the rainbow. I see God in the clouds. I see God out in the desert. And I always was one, I loved the desert when I lived in Arizona. I just thought it was the prettiest place. Some people don't. I still think it's pretty. I see God in the mountains. I'm not a person, I don't like to, I'm not Bill Yarborough. I don't like to go up there and go skiing. I like to stand back and look at them. I don't want to have to bundle up and get all these clothes on, these insulators and your boots and your coats and your jackets and your hoodie and all that stuff. And you get up there and, I mean, you can't hardly walk around because how do you ski in this stuff? You know, you can't hardly do anything. But that's all right if you like to ski. It's okay. Go ski. I've seen that in person. I was on a big old aircraft carrier and was coming back from Japan in probably 63. It's a long time ago. And it takes a big wave to cover over an aircraft carrier. Things, you know, 110 foot off the water, and then you got the mast above that. But we had to turn away from a submarine because we couldn't get them to answer. Didn't know if it was ours or the Russians. So we turned south into a typhoon. And everything was locked down. You weren't supposed to be outside, but I was way up front on the left side, the port side, if you don't know what that is, the left side of the ship. And I wanted to go back to the center and on the right side, back to what's called the conning tower, which is where I worked. So instead of taking the long way, I decided I went out and locked the door and got up on the flight deck and went across that flight deck. And about that time, my ship took a dip and it dropped down. And I looked up and there's this wave, way up there. I got inside real quick, locked the door again. I said, I ain't going to do that again. That's a big wave. But I see God in the storms. I see Him in the clouds. I see Him in the waves. I see God in the valleys. Think about it. When you look at that, I don't know what you see, but I see Almighty God. I see His handiwork. I see His artwork. I see His beauty. I see what He's made for you and I. And I see Him in the sunset. And I think, the sun's setting, old boy. You're getting close. The main thing is, are you ready? God made a way. He's still God. And He made a way. And Brother Branham said this on divine healing. I'm a Bible worshiper. I believe that God, that is God's word. And there's nothing over it. Never will be. And as long as there's an eternity, it'll still be the word of God, see? And I'll be uncertain of God. And he says, He's everlasting God from eternity to eternity. He's still God. When this old world is so heaped with sin till it's got a headache band around it, staggering like a drunk man coming home at night, some of these days sin has gone beyond the stars and the moon, and she'll burst and fly into eternity, but God will still be on the throne.
Amen.
Corinthians says, there's no temptation taking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation He's also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Think about it. All these things we're talking about, God in the beginning. Almighty God, who went from eternity to eternity, who's been around man, he had no beginning and no end, so how can you count the time of God? But even if you was just to take the time, if you want to put it in time, to try and comprehend it, you couldn't do it, of how long it took Him to make every star, every sun, every planet. Most of us thought, in the beginning God created the heavens, the earth in 6 days. No, that's not what it said. That's that old Pentecostal teaching I come out of. But in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period. Then He began to create what He created on the earth. But we can't comprehend the scope of God. But God, who made a way for you and for me. Think about it. He made a way for you and I that we could come back and have fellowship with Him.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you were the vilest of sinners or the best holy person walking around, never told a lie, never stole nothing, never did anything wrong. Don't matter, you're still a sinner. We all had to come the same way. And that was through repentance and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's not a one of us can get there any other way. I like what Brother Branham said. He said even his children had to come the same way he did. Think about it. And I was telling somebody Was it yesterday? I think. See, when you're talking so much, you forget who you talk to and what you, you know. But tells it, said, it doesn't matter, because I said, just because, was talking about Brenda's mom and dad, I said, just because Grandpa Mayfield was one of them and Grandma's one of them, just because they're one of them doesn't make Brenda one of them. She's got to come the same way they did. Just because Brenda and I are one of them doesn't make my children one of them. They've got to come the same way we did. Just because their children are born of them, don't make them one of them. They've got to come the same way. And the great-grandchildren, they've got to come the same way. And it's been that way down through time. God made a provided way, and He will not accept anything else from anybody but His provided way. God is still the same, and He still requires from us to obey His word, and He laid it out for you and I, that we can be saved and that we can be healed and how we can do it. And yet all we have to do is just reach out. I remember when we was in a hospital with Cheryl's husband, Cody, and up there, and he'd been talking to me and another pastor, and he said, what happened? He said, I have blasphemed. He said, I blasphemed. How do you know you blasphemed? Well, I said some things to some women that they'd said certain things, and I made some comments to them about God and about this. But yet this same man that blasphemed carried a New Testament Bible in his back pocket all the time. And he'd pull out and he'd read it at lunchtime. And he'd read it at different places. Yet I blasphemed. I looked at him, I said, what about that Bible you read? He said, well, what about it? I said, well, why do you read it? He said, well, because it's the truth. I said, sure it is. I said, but tell me, why do you read it? I said, what is it in you, Cody, that makes you want to read God's word? He, like most of us, you have that blank stare like, I don't know the answer. I said, let me ask you something. I said, you think you blaspheme? He said, yeah. I said, but let me ask you. I said, what about down in your heart? I said, do you really want to serve God? Is there something in you calling you that you want to serve God? He said, yeah. I said, then you ain't blaspheme. I told him what Brother Branham said. He couldn't quite get it. But the other pastor sitting standing there, and there was a bottle of those canisters or glass, what do you call it? Anyways, water in a glass jar. And he looked at him, he said, Cody? He said, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is just like that water sitting there. He said, if you're thirsty, you can reach out and take that water, pour it, and take a drink, or you can lay there and die. Think about it. It's that simple. That's how simple it is. He got it. He was thirsty for God. But he didn't think he could take a drink. But he found out that he could. And he gave his heart to the Lord right there in that hospital bed. I think he lived for 3 months after that? He had 400 people. I did his funeral. He had 400 people at his funeral. People talking to everybody I met. Can't believe what happened to him. He was a trouble. He worked at American Airlines. He was one of the union stewards and all, and he was a troublemaker. They thought, because he stood for the working guy, and he'd really get all over American Airlines, cause a lot of problems. But after that, he was just a Christian. He'd done his job, but he didn't do it the way he used to. But you see, his friends that had known him for 20 and 30 years said, what happened to him? What happened to Cody? What happened? He changed. He's not the same guy. I had person after person after person tell me he was not the same man when he came back. Something happened. I said, he found the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gave his heart to the Lord. That's what happened to him. And in the sermon I gave him that talk too about you want to be there with him? You want what he had? You say he's changed, he's different, you like what he became, then you can become like him too. All you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus. He's calling. We didn't get anybody, didn't get any takers, but at least they heard. When they stand in that day, they can't say, I never heard. I was never given a chance. Maybe in the only time they was ever in a so-called church setting. But some of us, we come to church every day or every week, every service, and we'll sit there and we still won't move when God calls. We still won't move when God moves. We just want to sit there. I don't know if we're afraid or if we're too starchy or what. What was it Brother Bram said? One time he did the old pulpit. I remember Brother Jesse, his brother, tell me about it. Brother Bam jumped up on the pulpit and sat down and let his legs dangle over the end. Why? He said his people were getting too starchy.
When they had the pulpit that was flat like this and it was sturdy, Jesse said he'd get up, he'd walk up and down that pulpit and preach. When they had the old wooden bench, the old pews in the church, and they weren't fastened to the floor, the anointing would get on him. But Jesse said he'd jump up, he'd run down there, and he'd jump up on that pew, and he'd run all the way at the back of the church and all the way back, going from back to back to back to back, never turn a pew over, never miss a step, and never miss a word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you want to talk about being starchy? He wasn't starchy. And people want to say, oh, well, we don't want too much emotion. Why not? We serve a God that's the emotional God. It's the same God that stood at the grave of Lazarus and said he wasn't emotional. He cried because his best friend had died. But yet when he stood up and he said, Lazarus, come forth, that was God speaking. See, the same God, no emotion. What is love if it's not emotion? Think about it. But some people around the message are so starchy, if they turn their neck, they might crack. Not so much here. I don't see that too much here. I'm not preaching to you people so much. I'm just, maybe it's to go somewhere else. I don't know. But I don't even know. Brother Joel, you didn't record this, did you? Because I forgot to start it, so Nathan's not going to be happy with us. Safe again. I'm going to blame it on Brother Joel, though. I'm supposed to turn that camera on over there because that's where it records to, and I didn't do it. Oh, well. That's all right. I'm sure if I said something wrong, you guys will let him know. And that'll be all right. If I'm wrong, I want to know anyway, so don't feel bad. All right, I'm trying to think of... I'm getting close, so I don't want to hold you too long. Although we're not having service tonight, maybe we just stay... No, I won't do that to you. Listen, he made a way for Jairus' daughter when she was sick. He made a way for the lepers. He made a way for Legion. Think, you talk about somebody who was in a bad way. Think about Legion. How many of you here have 2,000 devils? Maybe 2,000 haunting you, but not in you. They may be 2,000 chasing you. That's all right because you turn around and give them the word and they've got to leave. Amen. Think about it. Oh, he made a way for the blind man that sat blind from birth and sat at the gate. And one day Jesus come walking by. He made a way for him. He made a way for the woman with the blood issue and a crowd of people. And only one person, that little woman, got her healing. He made a way for the lame man down at the pool of Bethesda. One man among the multitude. He walked down through there, walked to that one man. And he made a way for him to receive his healing. He made a way for the woman at the well. Think about it. We talk about how bad some people are. What about this woman? Married multiple times and living with another one and all this. And yet there Almighty God come walking down the path to her and talk to her. And she accepted what he made. He made a way and she accepted that way. Think about it. He's God. He's still God. And he's still making a way. And he's made a way for you and he's made a way for me. He said, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. Think about it. So if he made a way for them, he's got to make a way from you. For you, I mean. Excuse me. And he's still making a way. But what's he doing? Musicians, if you'll come, he's making a way. Not just for salvation, but he's making a way for healing. Why? Because he died for you and I. He shed his blood, but by his stripes we are healed. I can stand up there. I died almost 15 years ago, and God made a way for me to come back. I don't know how many times he's healed me of diabetes. So you got diabetes, God's able to heal you. You got bad feet, God's able to heal you. You got bad legs, God's able to heal you. You've got bad kidneys, God's able to heal you. You got a bad heart, God's able to heal you. Why? He made this thing. He can heal it. You've got bad lungs, God can heal that too. I don't care what's wrong with the body, I serve a living God that can heal. Amen. And I know he can because he's healed me numerous times. And if there's anybody that doubts that he can heal, then I'll challenge your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want your healing, you can have it this morning. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it this morning. Amen. What is it? By faith. It's not by Bill Layton. It's not by Nathan Bryant. It's not by Joseph Branham. It's not by Billy Paul Branham. It's not by William Branham. It's by Jesus Christ. We're simply the instruments that God has chosen to use. Amen. But But you have to accept God at His Word. You have to accept God's provided way, as Brother Branham preached so many times. You've got to stand up and take the Lord at His Word. You've got to make the move. When God went down through the garden calling out to Adam, "Where are you, Adam? Wherefore art thou?" And as I could just see Brother Branham when he does that little thing about, yeah, Adam's hiding behind the bush. You know, "Oh, there's God. Oh, I better stay back here because I don't want to see." He said, "Where are you?" He said, "Here I am, Lord." He said, "Well, I've been calling you. Why didn't you come?" "Well, I'm naked." "Oh, really? Who told you you were naked?" Uh-huh. See, that's the way, but that's the same way we have to come to God. I don't mean naked physically. I mean just dump everything out. Just empty it all out and just be an empty vessel, naked if you would, standing before God. Say, "Here I am, Lord. I am yours. If you'll have me, I'll take what you give me. God, I want you. Lord, I want you to fill me up this morning. God, I'm sick. I need to be healed this morning. Lord, won't you come and take care of all of that for me? You promised it, and I'm going to take you at your word. Flow through me." Flow through me, Holy Spirit. About this. Encourage the people. Perhaps it was for those, if they're here, that were lost, or those that are seeking the Holy Ghost and don't have it. Perhaps it was for some that are sick. And I know some of the things I said, Lord, are some that are sitting here that are sick. But it was to encourage them. For Thou art God. You're still God. And You still make a way. You're still calling people, your children, to serve You. You're still standing there waiting to fill them with the Holy Ghost if they can just get everything out of the way and accept it. You're still standing there, Lord, with Your blood dripping and the old rugged cross, oh God, and Your blood is still available to wash away all sins, and Your stripes are still available for the healing. Lord, my desire is for Your people to be ready, because we're coming down, I believe, with all of my heart to the end. Lord, I don't know if it'll be today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, but, oh, Father, come quickly. This world is evil and rocking and filth, and not just from the common man, should I say, Lord, but
spiritual wickedness in churches and in governments and just in the world, God. I know it belongs to Satan. And he'll do what he wants to with it. But God, you've got some people left on this earth. Call them all to you, Lord, before the end. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Seal them into the body of Christ. And I know there's some sitting here even this morning. They're here. They believe the message. But God, they still need the Holy Ghost. As I said to Andrew the other day, and him and I talking, I said, believing the message is nice. That's good. Listening to it is good. Having pictures and books and CDs and MP3s and MP4s and on computers and on the phones and on the iPads, all of that is good. Going to church, that's good. Singing praise to you, oh God, that's good. Worshiping you, that's good. But God, we've got to know you. Brother Branham said, we have to know the author, and that's you, Lord. And that's what I want for the people sitting here. If there's any here, Lord, this morning that don't have you, Lord, I pray you'll deal with them until they'll give their life over to you. And if there's those that are needing the Holy Ghost that are seeking it, may you fill them this morning, Lord, before they walk out of the building. For we don't know when we're going to walk out there and meet our rapture. We don't know that we'll be back Wednesday nights. And for the sick, Lord, I ask you to come on the scene and heal each and every one. The requests that were given. May you bless tonight in the service over there at the Young Foundations where the Branham Tabernacle will meet. May you bless the people there. Meet them, Lord Jesus, as thy word goes forth. And may your glory be given. May you receive the glory for it. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my head in worship,
We have come into His house to magnify His name. We'll worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. We'll worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. We'll concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. We'll worship Him, Jesus Christ. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands. Magnify His name, we'll worship Christ the Lord. We'll worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand.
How we need your touch.
glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, since I lay my burdens down. Well, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens down. Well, I've been feeling so much better.
Shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them.
Since I lived.